Down south?
Met some. Why?
Cody used to say he could have been a baron once, if he'd had the luck.
A friend of mine called Trader used to say that if he'd had big enough wings, he could have flown to the sun.
But Kate didn't laugh. She wasn't even listening to what he'd said.
You hear water?
No.
I got good ears. Used to hear them bringing the soup around in the sulfur mine way before anyone else did.
No, I still can't hear it. What kind of water? Louder or nearer?
Kate let go of his hand, and Ryan could almost feel her concentration.
Running water. Like a stream. But real far. Not getting any louder.
Despite the biting cold, Ryan's first thought had been that there might be a flash flood racing through the twisting caverns.
You sure about the noise not being louder?
Sure, Ryan. Can't you hear it? Guess I got young ears. Cody used to tell me that. Young ears.
Ryan had a strange, momentary flash of realization that he knew hardly anyone as old as he was. Virtually every friend he'd ever had was dead. There were so many kids in the Deathlands.
Maybe we should go take a look at this water.
It was an embarrassment to Ryan that they'd walked another 10 minutes before he was certain that he too could hear the sound. It was a dull pounding, like a river going through a deep gorge. 10 more minutes on their blind trudge along the tunnel, and he could feel vibration coming through the wall to his fingers. Despite the difficulties of keeping any sense of direction in the pitch blackness, Ryan had thought for some time that they'd been moving generally downward. Kate was still close at his heels.
Air smells damp.
Yeah. There's ice forming on the floor again. Watch your step.
The round walls of the shaft were also carrying a thin coating of frozen water, slick against Ryan's gloved fingers. The noise swelled until normal conversation became impossible. From a murmur, it became a sullen roar, filling the ears. Now they could both taste the dampness of spray on their lips, the water filming their faces and clothes, freezing almost immediately. Kate was excited at the thrill of something to break the grinding monotony of the endless, featureless passageways. Ryan was apprehensive. By the deafening thunder, it was obvious they were near to a massive underground river. Maybe one that drove the power turbines of Zemyanyan sulfur mines. To encounter it in the swamping blackness of the shafts was a terrifying prospect. But the reality was worse. The noise made the senses reel. The air shook with it, taking away all awareness of time and place. The footing had become treacherous. The floor had generally been very smooth, but now there were small pebbles and larger stones. The walls were rougher, with slabs fallen away and patches of something that felt like a coarse lichen. Ryan stopped and pressed his mouth to Kate's ear, bellowing at the top of his voice.
This must flood sometimes. Triple care!
He felt her head, not understanding. Kate fell first. She grabbed at Ryan as she went down, but her fingers slipped off his wet coat, and she crashed to the stone floor. He stopped and knelt, fumbling to try to find her, but the girl had completely vanished. Ryan started to shout her name, then realized that shouting was utterly useless. She could be only 6 inches away from him, and she wouldn't hear a word. The ice at this point was thick, swirling under his hand in ribbons of frozen velvet. The passage was sloping downhill, and he had to struggle to keep himself from sliding. Something brushed against the side of his head, and he turned toward it, feeling Kate's boot on his cheek. Ryan grabbed at it, reaching his way up her leg, pulling the young woman closer to him. She was wriggling, her hands beating at him in a feeble, protesting way, as if she were trying to push him off. Ryan rolled on top of her, pinning her down, feeling both of them slipping on the slick floor. He managed to get his face somewhere close to hers, calling out as loudly as he could.
You all right?
He laid his stubbly face against her mouth, feeling her lips moving, her breath warm in his ear.
Yeah, bit bruised. Get off of me.
What did you say?
Said get off me.
With an effort, they both managed to regain their footing, clinging to each other like a pair of drunken dancers. Ryan's worry was deepening every moment. The idea of having to go back was depressing and potentially life-threatening. He hadn't found a side passage they could have tried for what seemed like hours, and there was always the serious hazard of the Sec Hunter, mindlessly wandering the dark passages, hunting him down. To try to make sure they stayed together, he linked hands with the young woman, picking his way over the solid floor of ice past tumbled boulders. Their progress slowed to a crawl. Ryan was soaked and frozen, the spray that filled the chambers penetrating through the layers of his clothes. Every movement brought a stiff crackling from the delicate tracery of ice that covered every inch of his body and head. A few yards farther on, disaster finally struck. A huge fallen rock had tumbled from the roof of the passage and lay smack in the middle. It was 8 feet high, shaped like a pyramid, and sheeted in pebbled ice. Ryan was leading the way over it, fingers locked with Kate's, when he lost his footing on the farther side. He gave a soundless cry, swamped by the rumbling of the water, and began to slide out of control. When his boots struck the passage floor, Ryan knew that they were in serious trouble. It sloped steeply away from him, toward the sound of the river. He tried to let go, but the young woman was also slipping, her hand tightly gripping his. In desperation, Ryan kicked out with his steel-tipped combat boots, chips of ice flying around them. But he couldn't get a purchase, sliding faster and faster, feet first. For a moment, he was aware that they were both falling through space. Then Kate was whirled away from him as they both plunged into the racing, icy river. The shock was so terrible that it nearly stopped Ryan's heart. Though he'd been cold and wet before sliding helplessly into the black waters of the underground river, it was immeasurably, unimaginably so much more ghastly. It was as though his entire body had been dumped into a whirlpool of razored ice crystals while making a particularly bad Matran's jump. He lost contact with Kate immediately, their hands torn apart by the astounding pressure of the water's flow. Ryan was rolled head over heels, trying to bring up his knees to make himself as small as possible, but control was out of the question. There wasn't the tiniest glimmer of light as he spun along, nothing that would give him the slightest clue which way was up. Even holding his breath was difficult, with the pressure of the river pushing him. For a moment he felt something brush up against him, which he guessed must be Kate. But the current wrenched them apart again. He knew that death was grinning close by, ready to take him into its own endless darkness. A river like this might run for miles beneath the mountains, sometimes dropping hundreds of feet over a jagged abyss, or squeezing itself into a narrow tunnel, filling it from floor to roof. He grabbed another breath. The water turned him so that he was going feet first, carried at what seemed a dizzying speed, the ice flood surging into mouth and nostrils, nearly choking him. Three times Ryan had bobbed to the surface, the blackness and the bitter cold of the air seeming little different to the darkness below the freezing river. Each time he was able to take in less air before being dragged under again. Despite his desperate efforts to survive, he could feel that he was losing control. J.B. Dix had once told him that a man falling through ice on a winter lake in the farthest north could measure his life in seconds. Even if he was hauled out immediately, the chill would have gone bone deep and death was almost certain. The immense weight and power of the water was drowning Ryan's mind as well as his body. Despite his efforts to fight for air, the weight of his clothes and the cold were dragging him down, deeper. But dimly, he became aware that the movement of the river had changed. The crushing force that had toyed with him was slowing, becoming gentler. Ryan kicked hard, hoping he was moving in the right direction, feeling his lungs close to bursting. Just as it seemed he was going to black out, his head again broke the surface. After the torrent, it was more like floating in a gentle lake. He was conscious of space above and around him, like in the huge chamber that he'd encountered earlier in his explorations of the old mine. By swimming out, he was able to move even farther from the center of the current, eventually bumping into a wall of smooth, wet rock. Though the turbulence and pace had all eased, he was still being carried along at a brisk walking pace, unable to find any purchase at all on the sides of the tunnel. Ryan shook his head, clearing his ears. The brain-numbing sound of the torrent had faded away behind him. Or was it in front of him?
Kate!
In the vast midnight space, Ryan's voice sounded feeble and strained. He tried to drift on his back, but the weight of his water-filled boots and sodden clothes kept pulling at him.
Kate! You hear me? Kate!
This time his voice seemed louder, but he was also uncomfortably aware that the rushing noise of the river was swelling again. The water was flowing faster, sweeping him into its center once more. The echo of his shout was shorter, warning him that the roof of the cavern was becoming lower, closing in on him. A vicious undertow heaved at his legs, like the clinging hands of drowned mariners trying to draw him down. Just before Ryan's head dipped once more below the freezing river, he thought he heard a woman's voice calling his name, but he couldn't be certain. Ryan Cotter was unconscious. The channel had become smaller, shrinking to a narrow flume. Now the underground river was racing twice as fast as it had before, dropping almost vertically at times, hurling its helpless victim around and around until he blacked out. When he came to, he was tangled in a net, his head above the